The following presentation is brought to you by
Heartland Media Group.
Capturing the moments that make life great. Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Well, hello, it's Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, and this is Up or Out, the business radio with an edge. And we have a really exciting guest on the show for today, but I'm going to hold that in just a little bit. But we are going to be talking about how you stop hustling, or how you should stop hustling gigs, and really look at how you build a business. So I was looking up some quotes for today, and I actually am, I'm going to steal the show here for a few minutes because I found two, and then there's one that I use all the time as well. So I'm going to be sharing three quotes for today, but I'm going to share the first one from George Burns because I just loved it. And his quote is, "Don't stay in bed unless you are making money in bed." So let's go on from that one. We have Steve Jobs, which is, "Sometimes when you innovate, you make mistakes. It's best to admit them quickly and get on with improving your other innovations." And then, of course, my favorite is, "Hustle isn't just working on the things you like. It means doing the things that you don't enjoy so you can do the things you love." Both awesome, awesome, fantastic quotes. Well, this is Connie, and you're listening to WCONNIE, Up or Out with Connie. And I want you to stay tuned to the end of the show because you never want to miss any of the exciting giveaways. So let me take a really quick break right here because we do have to recognize our sponsors. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network, where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. And we're back, and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie. And here is my guest introduction today, because it is my pleasure to introduce 25-year veteran of the venture capital, private equity, and hedge fund world, from Silicon Valley to Wall Street. And he is a member of the elite NSA Million Dollar Speakers Group. He's a CPA, but that's a secret. I don't want anybody to know that. But he's no secret, and he is a self-proclaimed eye candy, Mr. Joel Block. Hey, Joel, welcome to the show.
Connie, you're embarrassing me.
Mr. Eye Candy himself.
I'm telling you, you know, how about that, huh?
So you recently released a book. I know I got my copy just this morning, so I didn't really get a chance to go through a lot of it yet. So I'm going to ask you to share, what is your book about?
Well, stop hustling gigs and start building a business. It's what it says. Most entrepreneurial, solopreneur, self-employed people, speakers, authors, consultants, you know, everybody is, they jump from gig to gig. And that really is a hard way to build a life. It's a hard way to take care of your family. It's a hard way to make plans.
It is.
Take on a mortgage, buy a car, take on responsibilities, because it's feast or famine and you don't know how you're going to do. So listen, I've been involved in a lot of different kind of companies, pretty good sized companies in some cases. And there's a better way to do it than jumping around from gig to gig. And that's really what my goal is for people, is to stop jumping around and start building a money-making machine that works for you. And, you know, and
Well, I know what happens, and I see this with a lot of people, is that they're jumping around because they're not sure what's working, or they're trying to do something and saying, okay, it's not working, so let me go over here and try this. Oh, well, I see Joel is doing this. Well, let me go over here and try this. And then they keep on moving because they don't think it's working for them. So your advice is that they really need to stick to what they're doing for it to work.
Well, listen, I don't want people to stick to what's not working, because if it's not working, it's not going to start working just because they stick to it. On the other hand, it's not necessarily so that just because somebody else is working, it's going to work for you. It might be working for them for a different reason. It might be working for them because they have skills that you don't have. It might be working for them because they have more experience or practice or whatever. Okay. So there's lots of reasons why something may or may not work for you. And I certainly don't advocate for anyone to keep doing what's not working. One of the big problems that entrepreneurs...
Because that's called insanity.
Yeah, it's just silly. But one of the big things that entrepreneurs do, especially people who jump from gig to gig because they just want the money, is when somebody says to them, can you do this? If you're going to pay, I probably can do it and I'll just figure it out.
Yes.
Figure it out is not the right way to go. That's not what people are paying you for. They'll pay you a little. They'll pay you a little if you don't know what you're doing. Minimum wage, $15, $20, they'll pay you something. But if you want big money, if you want really good money, then you got to bring some value to the table. And a value to the table doesn't mean making it up as you go along. It's not fake it till you make it. So that's a big part of the formula.
Okay. So what if someone really wants to get into an industry? You know, they want to get into the finance industry, so to speak. So how do they get there? So are you suggesting that they first get that background and then jump into that industry and then work that industry as much as they can to learn the skills?
Well, listen, it depends what part of the business they want to go into. But it's entirely reasonable that you're going to be paid more for what you know how to do than what you don't know how to do.
True.
You know, I mean, listen, if you break your arm and it's broken real, real bad, you don't need to be, you don't need to go to the doctor for him to tell you the bone's broken. But if you got a pain in your arm, they take an x-ray and it's a little minute thing, you know, you need an expert to kind of figure out the thing. And that's most of the time, you need an expert to help you because, you know, there are things you can't figure out by yourself. And we live in a complicated world, and specialization is rewarded in our world. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into the specialization category because that's not really entirely what the book's about. It's just what I would say that, you know, one of the important skills in terms of being successful is to pick a lane and try to stay in that lane as much as you can.
I use that terminology all the time. Whenever somebody's like, oh, maybe this. I'm like, pick a lane. Just pick a lane. You know? Yeah, we can't be all over the place. You got to pick a lane.
I do some pro bono work at universities. I'll lecture to students. And when they're 21 or 22 years old in business school, you know what I'll tell them is, listen, do 5 years in this department and then try 5 years in that department. You know, But by the time you're 35 or 40 years old, you better figure out what you like, what you're good at, and you better start doing that because you're not going to make any money if you don't focus on what you're good at.
Right.
So if you've been trained in human resources and that's your thing, you're really good at it, whether you like it that much or not is a different discussion.
Yeah.
But if you're really good at it, that's probably going to be where most of your money comes from.
Yeah. Well, you made a good point, though, about having that expertise. It used to be, I know when I was younger, the recommendation or suggestion was that you would be a generalist and that you could step into any role that is needed within a business or an organization. But that's not how it is. They want an expertise. They want someone that says, this is exactly what you do. This is what I know well. I'm an expert. And that's when someone is going to hire you, because they don't want a generalist. Even with speaking to event planners looking for a speaker, they don't want a speaker that's going to say, well, yeah, I could, I'm a motivational speaker, but I'm motivational about what? You know, they want that specifics. Yeah. They really want you to drill down what it is that you are the expert in. So,
you know, listen, one of the things that I always say, money follows expertise. It just, and if you're an expert in something, money's going to follow. And the other thing that I say, the corollary to that is that there's a reason doctors practice on cadavers, you know, and the reason is they're low value targets. If they make a mistake, it doesn't matter.
Right.
People don't want you making mistakes on their dime. They want you to learn how to do something, practice in a low value environment. Mm. and then bring value to the table, and they'll pay you extra for that.
You just answer the one question I was going to talk to you about is how does someone get the expertise? But like you just said, you know, work on a cadaver, you know, work in a low level environment that can build up those skills.
Well, I mean, listen, in my business, you know, in the hedge fund business, you don't start running the hedge fund. You start working for venture. You start working in real estate. I teach a lot of guys twice a year. We do a conference on how to set up a fund, how to set up a syndication, how to pull money, how to organize these resources. And one of the things that happens, they can't even get into the program unless they meet the criteria of having either a substantial background in a certain area or if they have a certain amount of real estate experience.
Okay.
The reason for that is that they won't be successful raising money. Do you think investors are going to give them any capital investment in their if they don't have the requisite experience?
Okay.
And I'm looking at the resume. They're going to say, so what have you done? Well, I've done 15 deals and here's how they turned out. Fantastic. That sounds good.
Okay.
Or, I mean, I get people to call up and say, listen, Joel, I don't know if two nickels are rubbed together, but how hard can this be? I'd like to get some guys to give me some money and see if I can make it work out. And I said, it's not going to work out at all. You're never going to get any money. Who would give you money?
Right.
So, you know, it's, this is where I live is a hard world.
And
you have to bring some experience. So how do you get that experience?
Yes.
For somebody, you bird dog for somebody, you know, whatever you do, you have to bring some value. You probably get paid a little bit less than you're worth so that you can get paid more than you're worth.
Great, great advice. So the one thing that you've used, I know you've been in business for over 30 years and that you've identified over 100 tricks of the trade that you use to build your own business machine. So what are some, I know we don't have time for the 100, but what are some of the tricks that you've used over the years to build your business?
Well, you know, listen, probably the most important one or one of the most important ones is that you have to build what I always call a revenue octopus. The most successful businesses, especially smaller businesses, build a revenue octopus. And what that means is that they have multiple streams of revenue flowing into the same business. So rather than just consulting revenue, you got to find other ways to drive revenue in. So let's say you're a keynote speaker and you just love being a keynote speaker. The truth is there's probably a lot more money to be made helping the company holistically solve whatever problem they brought you in for.
Right.
Because an hour-long keynote doesn't change anything, but it opens the minds of people for more change. I mean, that's really what it does. And if you're holistic about this, and you don't even have to be the ones that renders the service if you just prefer to do the keynotes, companies need a holistic change. So you might be the keynoter. Somebody else might come behind you and do some consulting. You might get a piece of that consulting. That's your second revenue stream.
Nice.
So probably the third and a fourth. You know, think about other companies. The way that business schools work is when you study other companies and what they do, you imitate success. And that's what you try to do here. So let's say, for example, Starbucks, you go in for a cup of coffee.
Right.
Then they've got an upgraded kind of cup of coffee. They've got some food. They've got music. You can get a credit card application. They've got 20 different things that are going on in the store. It didn't start that way when they first started. They just had a little coffee.
Right.
They probably said, hey, listen, we got all these customers. Why don't we try to monetize them in and out? Right. Maybe we could sell them coffee machines, or maybe we could sell them beans, or maybe whatever. And then eventually they went to Costco and they sold bulk beans to Costco, and they sold Frappuccino, whatever, the supermarket. And, you know, so.
Tall Frappuccino Mocha Light Whip.
they've got a great octopus, put it like that.
Yes.
And
what,
you know, small companies don't develop those. And that's part of what prevents them from really ever getting going.
And I mean, Starbucks is a perfect example. I mean, you put Starbucks and, Apple together, and if you have one of those products, you're the cool guy, you know, on the street, because you have an Apple and you have a Starbucks in your hand. And I was reading that recently, and I thought that was really interesting. It's like you have status because you have a Starbucks drink. Well, so of course I'm a Starbucks fanatic, so I'm always there. So I must have the status.
Well, listen, the status or not, you know, the fact that they built a great octopus is a great business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve, you're kind of looking at the result.
Right.
I'm kind of looking at the input. The input, when you're building the business, your part's more sexy, the part that looking at the status.
Right.
What I'm talking about isn't so sexy, but it's where all the money comes from. The way that you get to be successful is by having good strategy on the front end.
Right,
and
right.
Most people just don't have good strategy on the front end. They're just hustling gigs. They're jumping around from thing to thing.
Right.
You sit down and you take a piece of paper and you draw a picture of what you want your business to look like, what the business model is going to be, what the revenue streams are going to be. The likelihood of being successful is probably enormously greater.
Yeah, and a lot of people do forget that. I guess, and I love your analogy of the octopus, but they forget, like, so, you know, where is that revenue stream coming in? They're doing everything except the sales, you know, except where is that revenue coming in? You know, they're looking at the fame rather than looking at the fortune. Me personally, I like looking at the fortune side. And again, how do you build those multi-levels of revenue? And again, where do those streams of income come in to build your business and grow your business? What's your primary business right now that you want to share with our listeners?
My primary business, I run a hedge fund. We buy distressed real estate assets all over the country. We add value to real estate. So we own a portfolio of REO, which is bank-owned properties. We're the bank. We own properties. Mm-hmm. We own mortgages. We own land. We're building housing units. So we're busy, doing real estate business. Investors give us their money, and then we get a share of the profit for the work that we do. Mm-hmm. So that's my business model. And there's a lot of different ways that we monetize that, but that's my primary business. And then my speaking business is I travel around the country. I'm a well-known expert in what's called capital formation, which means raising money.
Right.
There have been a lot of changes in the laws related to how money gets raised, and the government has kind of reorganized some of those laws. The internet has changed a lot of how things were done over the last 80 years. So I travel around and educate both investors as well as deal promoters, venture capital guys, Wall Street bankers, and other people on how these laws affect them and what they need to be doing. So, and I also do once in a while a little bit of court work where an attorney or a court of law will ask me for my opinion on a case. There was recently a case where a big hedge fund invested in a little company and they took advantage of them, and the attorney for the little company was needed some help understanding some things. And so asked me for some advice. So, but they're all centered around my same expertise. If somebody needs help with
their expertise,
they need help with their money and their strategy. That's what I do.
Cool. So how can someone get a copy of your book? I know that's just released. Is it on your website? Where can they go for that?
The new book is ultimately, there's two different versions that are going to be released. One is for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and people who are in business. A physical book will come out, stophustlinggigs.com, and that'll come out in probably 2 months.
Okay.
The first version that just got released yesterday that I sent you last night.
Hot off the presses.
Yeah, hot off the press. That edition is a digital version only, and that's for speakers because that's kind of a tight community that we're all part of.
Oh, okay.
So that book's not for sale. Although
if
a speaker and they want a copy of that, they can text the word gig, G-I-G, to the phone number 72,000. And then they can get a copy of the book. And that digital download is free.
Let me make a note of that so we make sure we put that out there. Okay. Make sure we put that out there so people know. We're going to take a really quick break and we're going to come back. And Joel, you're going to be in the hot seat. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
And we're back and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie, and joining us today is the one, the only eye candy himself, Joel Block.
Thanks, Joel. Connie.
And you shared some really awesome tips on how content leaders, entrepreneurs, speakers, writers, authors should stop hustling and build a business. Yeah. So now we want to know a bit more about you. And so are you ready for the hot seat?
I'm ready.
Well, this is where...
Connie, is anybody really ever ready? I mean, come
on. Never, but everybody gets through it. It's fun. So this is where I get to ask you 10 questions that only you can answer in 10 seconds or less, which means that they are one-word answers.
Go.
All right, we're ready. So what advice would you give to your younger self?
Don't stop chasing your dreams.
What is your favorite success quote?
Wow. I don't have a success quote. I've got a lot of other stuff, but I don't have a success quote for you off the cuff.
Okay. Did you know what you wanted to do right from the start?
No, I did not. I wasn't doing that great in college. I kind of fell into accounting. I didn't like it. I was terrible at it, but working at Pricewaterhouse, the last account I worked on was a giant syndicator, and I loved that engagement. I didn't like the accounting and the tax, right, but I loved the company, and that's the business I went into, and I've been in that forever since.
Okay. So all business leaders know that we have to start somewhere, and we all have failures before we can truly say we found our success. So was it always a success?
No. There have been ups and downs. Some deals have been great, some not so much. But you keep pushing through, and you know, the trick is to be a good communicator. If you communicate well, you know, the people around you will understand. Nobody gets it perfect. If you haven't had problems, you haven't been doing anything. That's very clear.
You've been sleeping, hoping to make money in bed.
Yeah, right. You're sleeping.
Well, then you answer what did you learn from that? And that was perfect. So what is your greatest win?
I sold a company that I started from scratch to a Fortune 500 company. So we raised $10 million for a publishing company in 1992 for this idea that we had. I pitched this company and they bought the idea, and I ended up selling it later on. So that was a home run.
Yeah, wonderful. So when did you have that aha moment to say, I got this?
Well, first of all, it didn't happen once. It's happened many, many times, because every time, you know, you're reinventing, you're innovating.
That's right.
I'm always trying new stuff. And, you know, and I find out whether it works or not. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. So I've had that over and over again.
Okay. And I know the answer to the next question, but I want you to share. What digital trends do you focus on when it comes to your marketing?
Well, listen, I was very early in LinkedIn. I was very early in Facebook, very early in Twitter. So, you know, I like those. You know, there's all this new stuff. I can't really keep up anymore. So
I know. It's crazy.
I don't post pictures of myself. I don't put pictures of the hotels that I stay in. I don't take pictures of myself on airplanes. I use these tools really for business. Mm-hmm. But I do like those three tools.
Well, I know you're awesome in LinkedIn. Now that I've learned how to rate myself on LinkedIn, I'm always keeping my eye on it. So
you're hot on my trail, huh?
That's right. That's right. So if you knew then what you know now, what words of wisdom do you have to offer entrepreneurs or the young risers that are pursuing their path to success?
You know, I think the one business mistake I made many years ago is I didn't engage the services of PR, public relations, after I sold my company.
Okay.
Which now, using social media, you know, I probably would have done a much better job. Mm-hmm. You have to do a better job of promoting yourself, not be bashful. You know, I don't like to be boastful, but there's nothing wrong with telling the truth and telling people what you've done and selling. You know, some people are very, very good self-promoters. I'm a little bit more modest, but I think that's just a really important thing. And if you don't tell people what you've done, they're not going to know.
Yeah. And I think I'm a bit like you when it comes to that part, you know, I'm a bit more modest, and I felt that if I was out to, oh yeah, I was a CEO of Girl Scouts, I felt like I was boasting, you know, I was showing off, and that's just not who I am. Yeah. So it took me a bit of time to be able to really wrap myself around that yes, we need to tell people what we're doing, because otherwise nobody's knows.
They don't. If you don't tell them, they're not going to know. So right. Yeah, but there's a nice way to tell them, and there's
yes.
a way. And
yes.
I think that there's a, you got to do it in a respectful way. Listen.
Yes.
I think where I draw the line is, look at me, look at me, look at me. I think a lot of these
right.
things, look at me on an airplane, look at me on vacation, look at me at a, you know, at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that sort of thing. You know,
but yeah. I try to do it a little bit, but I'm forcing myself to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of like, even this past week I spoke in Vancouver, and coming home yesterday, and I went, oh, I said, I didn't get video clips of me with people.
Yeah,
I don't think of that. I know I need to be better at that, yeah, and I know, you know, to show that.
I really should probably do a little bit better, because I travel around, I speak a lot, but you know, I just it's really not on my mind. I probably could do better.
Yeah, myself as well. I guess maybe that's what we'll hold each other accountable for.
Sure.
Get your pictures. All right, Joel. Well, you've been absolutely fabulous. Love having you on the show, and of course, I mean, we could talk for hours. I know that, but we have to come to an end because it is only a 30-minute show. So I want to thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much. It was really fun, Connie.
You're quite welcome. And thanks to everyone for being here and being part of our community. And keep sending in your success stories and questions to askconnie@upperout.com, because we want to share your stories and we want to help others to become motivated and to take action. Now, some of the updates I've been sharing with you is that we are relaunching our Be Unstoppable Together conference, and that's going to be happening this fall. So stay tuned, because I'm going to have a lot more information on that for you. The new website will be going up really soon. I'll get an update on that this afternoon. But all good things, everything is so exciting. We have a lot to give you, so be sure to subscribe with us and stay connected on iTunes, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and of course, Twitter, because you don't want to miss any of that good stuff. This is Connie, your unstoppable diva, and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie. It's been great being here with you today, and to our guest, Joel Black. And to everyone listening, oh, thank you, Joel. I want you to ask yourself, if you could do anything, would you still be doing what you're doing now? Until next time, be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable together.